shoulder. And I always told myself, what kind of strength does this woman have? And she never complained. She traveled the world. She did everything in her power to make sure that we were taken care of. Amen. I believe that only a strong mother can give birth to strong children.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When the Lord had his mission for the world, he found a woman. When he rose up, the first one to meet him and encounter him were women.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I believe that, and I hope this comes out the right way, but I truly believe an example of a good ground is evident in just how God made our mothers, our sisters, that whatever you put in is what you get out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So I am grateful for all the mothers all around the world, especially the mothers in Revelation Nation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want you to know that we love you. Jesus loves you more. And we are here to support you in every way that we can. And for those who are missing their mothers like myself, no one can take your mother's place. No one can. It's impossible. But nevertheless, you can experience the love of a mother. This church is full of mothers. Every turn, there is a mother. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Every time I thought I was missing something, God sent mothers into my life. Mama Brian came in my life. Mama Onyango's in my life. If I start mentioning, I may get in trouble. So let me just zip my mouth. But there is never a shortage of godly mothers. You see, your earthly parents are ordained by God to birth you. But there is a family you find in Christ that is centered on your destiny.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So again, may the Lord bless all our mothers all around the world in the name of Jesus. And this is why you have to protect the sanctity of women. See, the devil is not just after our men. The devil is trying to dismantle what it even means to be a woman.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If that definition changes, this day will no longer matter. I'm just being honest. Some people may not like that, but it's the truth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's a divine purpose only a biological woman can fulfill.
Amen.
And that cannot be replaced by anybody.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. I want all the men, the sons, the daughters to find a mother next to you and hold their hand. And we are going to pray for them. And we are going to pray for them. Find you a mother. Find you a mother somewhere. And we are going to pray for all the mothers and even those who are at home. Hold your mother's hands. If you don't have some, grab your sister's picture. Somebody that you know is a mother. And we are going to pray for them. In your own words, I want you to take a good minute and pour out your heart that God will strengthen them, empower them, and will give them. They carry so much burdens for the family, for the children. Cry to God for them. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Le barabahaza. Le maradehia. Le pravida atuli meheze ketebehaya. Le koro monomose. Rimando lobosika da bahaze ketebehe. Le brahmani mahazuke de beheza. Roka da bahazika da bahaya. Lift your voice, lift your voice. I said the Lord is good.
Amen.
I said the Lord is good.
Amen.
Listen, we had a phenomenal weekend with the
Hallelujah.
With my grandfather, my father. But I'll tell you this, I'm glad I'm home.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This morning I was in prayer and meditation and the Lord ministered to me. And I am excited to share with you a beautiful but yet profound message. You know, the most beautiful thing a man or the greatest honor we could ever receive is to hear from God. I never take that lightly, you know. Reading about God and hearing from God are totally two different experiences. Even though reading the scriptures is the window into seeing the thoughts of God, it's a different thing to hear Him Himself speaking to you. You can't put a price to it. You can't even pray for it. It's a, yes, you can, but He has to want to do it. You know, God is not a genie in a bottle. You rub it and He does what you want. That's not God. But we seem to have that idea in the church that if I do this, then God's going to do that. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. God is just sovereign. He does what He wants, when He wants. And He has decided to speak to us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whenever God makes decisions, He makes it because He decided. The Bible says it like this: for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Not because we prayed. Not because we even know such a provision was possible. He just decided it and gave Jesus. Whosoever, if you receive it, you receive. You don't, it's on you. There are consequences. But God always goes far beyond what we can ever think or we can imagine, because He's just sovereign in His nature. So we have a good God who desires to communicate with us. He desires to speak with us. He desires to reveal Himself to us. God is just God all by Himself. So I believe what we're going to hear today is going to empower us. It's going to lift us up. It's going to make us better for His glory.
Amen.
I thought I'll hear better. Amen.
Amen.
So if you can grab your Bibles quickly, we're going to go to Matthew 6 verse 9. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, there we go. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Every one of you should know this without even reading it. Are you there?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes. Yes.
1, 2, 3.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may sit in heavenly places. Now you need to understand that if the Lord Jesus or anything is pointed in Scripture, it means it is of great importance. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Nothing is ever spoken of by God or pointed out by God unless it is of great significance. You notice the center of Jesus' prayer was not sin, was not His enemies or your enemies, or the witches in your village, or those who stand against you, those who are attempting to destroy you. His prayer was centered on the purpose of God before the foundations of the earth. There is something phenomenal the Lord spoke to me this morning, and He said this. He said, if you look at Genesis, the first chapter and the second chapter, especially the first chapter, you notice something very exquisite, beautiful. The Lord is creating the earth, but is not creating the earth for Himself. He is creating the earth for a man that will represent Him within that domain. So God is putting this whole planet together. He begins by reshaping it. He begins by putting animals and creating trees and all these things. But none of it is complete, because there is a man that is doing all these things for, and that man is not yet in the earth. I wish you could hear me. I came to realize that the kingdom of God is not heaven. The kingdom of God is not the earth. The kingdom of God is centered within the being He has decided
Amen.
to reveal himself through.
Come on.
When God created man, he created man to be the one that displays his kingdom. Because God is not dwelling in the earth, but God is dwelling within man.
Amen.
I'm talking to the wrong people. So when God is creating man, he is creating him to live in a world, and within that man, God himself is going to live through. So when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, his disciples wanted to pray like other people, but Jesus wanted them to pray the correct prayer that will answer the desires of God towards humanity. You see, when God created man, he created him for his pleasure. God also has his desires. God cannot pray to anyone because there is no one else but him. But nevertheless, he has his own desires. The Bible says he created everything for his own pleasure. So it means that he was doing something to satisfy a certain desire within himself. So now Jesus is telling them, pray after this manner. This is what you need to be praying for.
If you have Prime, you can get a year of Grip Up Plus free. That means $0 delivery fee.
Father who is in heaven, may your name be glorified. Your kingdom come and your will be done. The will of God is not revealed without his kingdom.
Come on.
No kingdom, no will.
Amen.
Let me find somebody I can talk to. If you're not a carrier of God, you cannot bring forth the will of God.
Yes, Lord.
You can pray for healing. You may be healed. But it doesn't mean you fulfilled his desire for his kingdom. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God will come to a man, reveal himself to a man for one sole purpose. God desires his kingdom to be established. But God does not deal with inanimate things. God does not interact with dead things. The reason why God cannot use a tree is because a tree is inanimate. Yes, it is growing. Yes, it's producing fruit. Yes, but there is a man that is in consistent motion. Yes. That's what God wants.
Motion.
We don't pray to idols because they are inanimate. They are dead objects.
Movement.
But when God wants to show his power, he will take a man that you may undermine. But that man has made room within himself for the kingdom of God to be.
Amen.
I wish somebody could hear me. You see, what you're praying for, what you desire, is a result of kingdom life. Is a result of God living within you and establishing his will, his mind, and his desires through you. So if there is no desire for God to establish himself within you, because you cannot have a kingdom unless it is established. Our desire must always be that God's presence will rest. His sovereign grace will rest. Not will just come upon you and you feel the anointing and you say, "Ooh, I feel it." But the act of resting. I don't know if you can hear me. The act of rest is a completely different phenomenon. Notice, God is not just trying to dwell in you. He's trying to rest.
Amen.
I feel somebody didn't catch that. Maybe it went over somebody's head. God is not seeking to just come upon you and there is fire in you. Rabba shakatabada. No, God is seeking a resting place. God is seeking a resting place. Therefore, for his kingdom to be established, you must be a man or a woman that recognizes the need for God. A man or a woman who understands that without God, I can never be whole or complete. You see, the issue we have in the church is this. We love to act. We are professional actors. And we think we can deceive God by our acting. But nevertheless, light and darkness is the same to God. God sees you. He sees through you. He sees your thoughts. He knows you in and out.
Amen.
But still, even from the pulpit, we are taught to act. We are taught to act. Not to make, but not to make room for God to rest. We have been taught that, listen, you need to be this way for God to be that way. You need to walk this way in order for God to be this way. Yet God is God all by himself. It has nothing to do with what you can do, what you can say, how you can pray, how you can think. It has nothing to do with you. If God is swayed by you, then he is not God.
Amen.
But we have become so good at taking acting classes. I feel like I'm speaking to myself. We are professional actors. When they meet you, they say, "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, Shaddai, highly favored, blessed beyond measure." But when you're at home, you're asked by your husband or your wife, "Hey, how are you doing? What do you want?" If your friends call you, "Yo, what's up?" But in church, "How are you?" "Oh, Shaba, high leaf." We have become actors. We are putting a show in the name of God. But the kingdom is not established Amen. Within us.
Amen. Teach it.
Because we are just acting.
Yeah. Come on, come on.
We know how to turn it on and off.
Yes, come on.
In church, even if somebody sneezes, "Oh, amen. I just heard the Lord say that you know, seasons are changing. Just like you're having allergy season, your season is changing." We use everything to be prophetic. But when an expected bill shows up, "Oh my God, like, can I catch a break?" You don't use the same energy to...
Amen.
I'm talking...
Teach it good.
Some of you need to take your mask off. Take your mask off.
Amen.
This is not theater. Stop acting.
Amen.
Become real. Professional actors. Professional actors. You see Prophet Lovey, man of God, prophet of God. When you're talking to people, "Yeah, Lovey is my pastor." You see him, man of God. The honor is not there. It's only activated when you see somebody, so you have to act.
Good. Good.
Uh-huh.
Good night to all that keeps us awake, like work.
We are not real, so even in our decisions, we've just become actors. when people are following a trend, we fall into it too because we are acting. Then when something happens that you didn't like, you start demonizing the same person that you used to follow. That means if they are bad, you are bad also, because the deep calleth unto the deep.
Amen.
Not, oh, he changed, so I just...
Amen.
We have become actors. No truth within us. Truth is not always positive. Because truth is never negative nor positive. The truth can be ugly. The truth can be beautiful. The truth can bruise you, can break you. Nevertheless, it's just truth. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If the kingdom is spiritual and it is not visible, how do we know it? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and all its righteousness. But remember, he told them to pray his kingdom to come. It means it is not a location you can go to. It's something that has to descend from on high. So he tells them, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, let your kingdom come and your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. It means even in heaven, that kingdom came down. The same way it descended on heaven, it should also descend on us. Here on earth. The same manner they received it, the same manner we should receive it. But now, he's saying, seek something that is not of earth. And if it did come down, you would not be able to see it. You can only discern it. When the Lord Jesus walked on the earth, many didn't know who he was. Yet, he was the carrier. He was the kingdom itself amongst us. God from heaven descended, dwelt amongst us, lived with us. They could not tell who he was. Meaning when the kingdom comes, you may not even know it unless you are discerning. So he told them, seek the kingdom, because he realized these guys don't know what it is. But when he was ascending, the same person tells them, now hear me, if anybody tells you the kingdom of God is over there, or it's over here, or it's over there, don't believe them. The kingdom is already inside of you. Wait, when did it get inside of us? That now we no longer have to look for it. You are telling us that it's already inside of us. But the disciples did not even know the kingdom was already inside of them. You see, some of you, the kingdom power is already in you. But you don't know, because you keep going after things that you don't understand, that it has already entered you. It is already within. It has already mixed itself with you. So if the kingdom of God is within you, then what is left is for his will to come forth.
Amen.
Amen.
So the next thing is, why am I not seeing the will of God? Well, it begins because you don't know that the kingdom is inside of you. Whenever God wanted to reveal his will, he always used a man. But he always used men that looked like were out of place. They did not belong. But there was something inside of them that had the ability to shift things around. God takes Ezekiel by his spirit and takes him to the valley of dry bones and says, Ezekiel, can these bones live again? Ezekiel's like, I don't know, Lord. You know. If God comes and tells you life and death is in the power of the tongue, he's not asking you to die. He's trying to reveal to you that what you're going through is because you have allowed it.
Amen.
So Ezekiel is in the valley of dry bones, and God is asking him a rhetorical question. Of course, God can do anything. God did not ask him, Ezekiel, can you make these bones live again? God just asked him, can these bones live? When God tells you, I am going to bless you, he's not asking you to use your skill. It is no longer dependent on you. When he is posing you a question, he's trying to open your eyes to understand. Hear me. Do you know who is with you? Do you know what is inside of you? Can this situation change? So it is not really a question. It is a challenge for you to understand the power that is inside of you.
Amen.
For you to understand the grace that is inside of you.
Yes.
So God is talking to Ezekiel and asking, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, I don't know. You know. God did not give him an explanation on how they're going to live. God just told him, son of man, prophesy to the bones. The kingdom of God comes so that the will of God can go forth.
Amen.
When we select leaders to go and represent us in Washington and all that, we select them to represent the will of the people. Then we send somebody that will make our voices heard. So the will of God can never be revealed unless there is a voice. There is a spoken word. Now the difference between the word of God and the word of man is this. Is that the word of God has the power to carry out what it has been spoken to do. The words of men need to rally men to come together to make something happen. The word of God never returns void. It will accomplish. Notice this. It doesn't need anyone's approval. It just needs to be spoken.
Amen.
It just needs to be uttered. The moment it is released, it's on autopilot. Even the one who spoke is no longer in control. Even the one who spoke is no longer in control. The word will just do what it needs to do. So God speaks to Ezekiel and says, Ezekiel, shall these bones live? Ezekiel says, I don't know. God said, all right. Son of man, prophesy to the bones. Say, I will put my breath in you. But you are bones, you have no lungs. I will put my breath in you. And I will cause you to live again. You see, every time you speak, in order for you to make a sound, there must be breath. Yeah. Your vocal cords have to vibrate.
Amen.
So every word spoken is carrying life because you must breathe in order to.
Amen. Yes.
I don't know if you heard what I just told you. So you are afraid to speak. Because you don't understand the kingdom of God is within you. And the only way the will of God comes to pass is by you speaking. If you don't speak, nothing is going to come to pass. I love Psalms 103. At the end, it says, bless the Lord, all ye his angels, who hearken unto his voice. There are angels that are just sitting idle, waiting for somebody to speak.
Amen.
Let me find somebody I can talk to. If you don't open your mouth to prophesy, angels are just waiting. If no word is spoken, there is no activation. So in other words, Jesus is praying, Father, let your kingdom manifest within me so that I can establish your will on earth. You see, we can pray from a place of defeat. Yes, you can pray from a place of defeat instead of praying from a place of faith. Many of us pray from a place of defeat, not from a place of victory. The Bible says when you pray, believe and you have it. But many of us pray to vent. Some of you didn't like that, but I'm telling you the truth. Many of us pray so that we can just cry for no reason. I always laugh when people say, I was arguing with God. I was like, hey, you must be very highly favored, anointed, appointed. The 24 elders are bowing before God. Angels are afraid of him. You're arguing with God. The Bible never said Jonah argued with God. It said Jonah attempted to run from God. Not argue. But even when you read in the scripture, it says, where can I run from your presence? Where can I hide from you? Even if I make my bed in hell, you are also there waiting for me. You know, I was just arguing with the Lord this morning. Saying, Lord, you want me to do that? I am not doing that. I'm like, hey. Are you sure you're not talking to a demon? Arguing with God. You know, God, Holy Spirit just spoke to me and I was looking at Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, no. The Bible speaks about Ananias, a devout man, where the Lord appeared to him and told him, I want you to go and pray for Saul with Peter. The guy was just asked a question. Said, hey, Lord, isn't that the ninja that was killing us? Did I get the right thing? God said, yeah, but nevertheless, go and pray for him. He will do some things for me. The man never sat there and said, no, my aunt is in jail because of him. This man, because of him, Stephen died. No.
Come on.
There is no arguing with God.
That's right.
There is no arguing with God.
Amen.
If Jesus says yes, nobody can say what? No. And if he says no, nobody can say what? Yes, yes. It's a done deal. But there is something that God has put inside of you, so that you and me can determine. You see, we are a predestinated people. For those he foreknew, he also predestinated. So we are predestinated people. Meaning our life is already written out. You can't change it. But there is a gray area within your life whereby you are either in the perfect will of God or the permissive will of God. God's desire is for you to make heaven. So if you make heaven with one leg, he doesn't mind. He's not saying that's what he wants. Because his goal is for you to make it to heaven. So if you make it to heaven without one eye, God is fine. You made it to heaven. Not that he wants you to go into heaven with one eye. If you enter heaven without one arm, God is fine. Because in heaven you'll be whole anyway. But not because he wants you to go to heaven with one arm. Samson didn't have to be blind. Even though God used his blindness for his glory, it was not the perfect will of God. There are some things you are experiencing because you're saying, have your way, but God put his kingdom within you.
Yes.
So that you can decide what will play out.
Amen.
Because he already has his way. Jesus is already within you.
Amen.
What he wants, he already has. So if you don't prophesy for your life to change,
Come on.
Notice the children of Israel are in the wilderness. They said, Moses, we're tired. We want bread. Give us bread. God knew what they want. God didn't do anything about it until they asked. Because to God, they were still eating. As long as they were nourished, that's what God cared for. God doesn't care that you're eating vanilla ice cream, steak, or veggies. His point is that you're eating and you're nourished and you're alive. That's God is spirit. So you may have to say, Lord, can I have some steak today? God being God, because he understands human nature, he will give you steak. He has no problem with it. Because you eating steak or eating salad doesn't change him. So you being broke or being rich doesn't change him. But I'd rather you be rich so you can do more for his kingdom.
Amen.
I prophesy to somebody.
Amen.
The anointing to change your life is already within you.
Hallelujah.
May it be activated in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So now, hear me. I'm finishing now. So ask yourself the question, seriously, am I living in the perfect will of God, or am I living through what life gave me? If there is disorder in my life, yet the kingdom of God is orderly, then God planted me to bring order into this life.
Amen.
Where there is chaos, God puts you. That by your words, by your prayer, things will take a different course. They will go a different direction. A different turn. But some of you are like, God just gave me this, so, I'm going to do with it what it, I'm just going to make lemonade. I don't like lemonade.
Me either.
Just because life gave me lemonade doesn't mean I have to accept it.
Right.
Amen. I like mango juice, not lemonade.
Amen.
Life doesn't give you what you deserve, it gives you what you demand.
Come on.
Let me find somebody that I can talk to.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Life doesn't give you what you deserve.
Yes.
Life will give you what you demand.
Amen.
This is why you sow seeds, to ensure that you will reap what you deserve.
Yes. Amen.
You don't go and just say, I'm going to plant corn so that I can harvest cabbages. Oh, you know what? So corn came out, so It's okay. You know, there's a great man of God that I love. He's in heaven now. His name is A. Allen, one of the greatest miracle workers. A. Allen said something in one of his messages I'll never forget. He said, the word of God is a recipe book. You don't make cornbread, put it in, and take out turkey.
Come on.
Or you don't take turkey and put it in and bring out cornbread. If you wait for life to give you what you deserve, you will get disappointment, you'll get heartache, you'll get limitation, you'll get confusion. You'll go through a cycle that will keep you in a place whereby you are diminished. Where there was death, men saw it to be natural. Jesus demanded that life should be. Say, young girl, wake up. Huh? Everyone was already celebrating, claiming their mourning. They were dancing, singing sad songs. She's dead, she's dead. Jesus is like, stop the music. I said, Jesus, what do you want? The girl is asleep. She's dead. You see, it's human nature for us to surrender to what the world gives us. But because God is within us, we carry the life of the living God. That whatsoever we lay our hands on, wherever we step, there must be life.
Amen.
It is not an option. Somebody came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you will, cause me to see. Jesus says, I am willing, then see. Notice, Jesus was always willing. He did not say, now I am willing. He said,
I'm willing, see.
I've been willing for you to see. I came for this reason. So the whole time the man is waiting for Jesus to be willing, yet Jesus was already willing. Stop waiting for somebody to give you a word.
Amen.
For your life to change.
Amen.
There is already a word within you. Let me.
Hallelujah.
This is why I always tell you, you are the best prophet of your own life.
Yes.
You don't need me. You're already the best prophet of your life.
Yes.
No one can prophesy more accurate to you than you.
Come on.
I see. L-O-V-Y, Lovey, Lovey is your name. Yes, it's me. You can prophesy the best to yourself. Yesterday, my father was talking about how he would practice his prophetic accuracy. I used to prophesy to myself. By this time, this will be like this. Let's see. By this time, this is going to happen. I used to do it to myself. So when I come to you, I am confident because it worked on me.
Amen.
Some of you have become dependent on man. Yet the kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
You have become so dependent on man that you have become crippled.
Jesus.
In the physical, you look like this. In the spirit, you're crippled.
Jesus.
Helpless. Because you don't believe in the God that lives in you. You are believing in somebody else's relationship in God.
Whoa.
And with God. That in itself is already an issue. Of course, you can recognize somebody's intimacy with God. You can recognize the grace that God has given them. The Bible never said it was off limits. It can be for you also. They are there to inspire you to see that if a man can walk with God like that, that is just like me, then I can get there too.
Amen.
Jesus did not keep his relationship from... Notice this. The Lord never kept his relationship with his Father for himself. In fact, his Father gave him so that we can have the exact intimacy that he shares with his Son. That is why it's called the firstborn of what? Of new brethren. So when God looks at you, he sees identical twin, identical twin, identical twin. Because spirits are not born. If the same spirit that is Jesus, he is also put in you, then he's just seeing the same people. So his dealing with you is no longer different from dealing with Jesus.
Amen.
So he has made you co-heirs, meaning whatever Jesus has inherited.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Bible says this: the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. So Jesus made the earth, and the earth belongs to him. So if you are co-heirs, even the earth is yours too.
Amen.
Listen to what the Bible says. Are they not all ministering spirits? It's talking about angelic spirits, right? Angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Salvation is an inheritance. The evidence that you are co-heirs with Christ is you also have salvation. The problem with you is you think salvation is only going to heaven.
It's true. It's true.
You have limited the term to only mean I am going to heaven.
So true. Come on now.
If you read in Psalms, it says, many are the trials and tribulations of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them from it all. The salvation of God is always given to them. So salvation is a life experience.
That's right.
It's not just a heaven experience.
Amen.
So the question to you becomes this. When you stand before the Lord on that great day, would you have maximized every ounce of blessing that was accorded to you? Or would you have lived the life that your enemies determined for you? Or would you have lived the life that the economy decided for you? I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children beg for bread. You are begging for bread and you think it's okay.
Jesus.
Yet according to scripture, it ought not to be abomination. You look at your life, you're okay with barely making it.
No.
God is looking at you saying, huh? Did I not say that you shall have vineyards? You shall rebuild all desolations. Men shall give unto your bosoms, and the world will say, surely you are the priest of God. You see, the problem with you believers, me, I'm not a Christian.
Amen.
I'm a Christian by the Holy Spirit. Not this generic Christianity. I'm not ashamed of God's blessing. Many of you think being crusty, dusty, bad breath and all, nasty, musty, to say that I am fasting and praying, I've been in the presence of God for, I've just been in prayers. Arabashaka. It is evidence of the anointing. Foolishness.
It's true.
drier than the bones Ezekiel saw. Oh, you know, I'm disconnected from this world, you know. But yet you're still in it. I just God didn't call you to be a hermit on the mountains.
Amen.
He sent you to rescue the world.
Amen.
He didn't call you to be helpless. He didn't call you to be empty. You are supposed to lend to nations, but you have become comfortable just borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. You are not displaying the kingdom nor the will of God that is already within you. The Lord has called you to a higher place.
Amen.
And by His Spirit, He has ordained a standard that me and you ought to live at. We will not achieve that standard by our strength. No. You see, Paul said this. He said, I will thank God and glorify God for my weakness so that His power may rest on me.
Rest in me.
See, some of you only feel the power when you worship one day. You say, oh, the Spirit was strong. The next day, you try to worship, you are not feeling anything. I didn't feel it today. Notice God hasn't rested. When He has rested, you are in a continuous state of ecstasy. You are just always at that place. And you go deeper and deeper and deeper. Because you understand your need for Him. But many of you are burying your weaknesses. Hiding your weaknesses. Instead of making it the center of why the kingdom of God and His will must manifest. So now you have become an actor before God, and God is waiting for you to stop acting so that He can act on your behalf.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So He can take action on your behalf. So that He can move mountains on your behalf.
Amen.
God is waiting for you.
Never seen the righteous forsaken.
Let me just say this in the easiest way I can. Before I finish,
I thank you, that these bills
you will never be perfect.
In Jesus' name.
That is why we are perfected.
I thank you, Lord God.
There is none that is perfect but God.
I'm walking in your will.
So when people read the scripture saying, I am holy, so be ye holy, they think that holiness is an achievement. You can't. Holiness is bestowed.
That's right. That's right.
And they think holiness has to do with sin. God has never sinned. No, is He subject to sin. So holiness has nothing to do with sin.
In Jesus' name.
The Lord says that you are a holy nation. Yet Israel sinned continuously. The Bible says the holy prophets. Yet none is holy except God. It is bestowed. It is not an achievement. Righteousness is a gift. It is not an achievement. All that we are in God is simply what we have been given.
Amen.
I don't know if you can hear me. It's just what we have been given. It's not something we worked for. We just received it.
Yeah.
But notice all your life you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk in righteousness. Yet they don't understand. To walk in righteousness is to bury your flesh every day. To remind yourself, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ. I am part of His body. So if I sin, it's not even me sinning. Like Paul said. But it is this sin that is inside this body. It is not me. So you are not delivered from you.